Previously on the audio files.
Everybody's looking for an easy way to make a little side money. So I went on and I saw this university was doing a study and they're looking for people to provide feces samples. They send you a box, you shit in the box, you send it back. So basically, I had to fill out this long application. Even had to explain the consistency of your stool. And it paid like $200 to $500.
Wasn't that the follow-up album to Dark Side of the Moon?
Yes.
Consistency of your stool?
Dave Simmons.
And I sit and wait until the poop plops down.
Chins up, boobs out, it's showtime.
Time for music.
Let's civilize conversation.
Wherever the music takes me, kitten.
Scott Edward Phelps.
Ah, yes, the legendary wit, or at least half of it.
Dave Simmons.
Good evening, Dave.
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Tell you right out, I'm a man who likes talking to a man who likes to...
The most important music show ever.
Cue inspirational music.
The Audio Files.
I promise that you'll never find another like me.
Me, and more me. The only one is me, yada, yada. For this week, here's an idea. Shut up and sing. And that doesn't mean what you think it might mean. Stick around. We'll tell you what it means. Also, this week on the program, a program, by the way, recommended by 4 out of 5 dentists whose patients choose sugarless gum. How do you spell famously fake around here? We spell it A-I-A-I-O-M-G. Stay uploaded for that. New music this week. From an Aussie, a dog, a lynch mama, and two guys who are being touted as the new Lennon-McCartney, and not for the reason you might think. And it's actually not in poor taste to report that an R&B pioneer has croaked, because, well, that's what he did, and that's what he did. First up, like Lady says, we are two guys who know tunes, talking tunes, so this week's first tune is new and noteworthy, and by golly golly, it's our pick of the week.
The hits just keep on coming.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
The audio files.
The hit of the week.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
Recognize.
Testify. All right, no secrets here. I was tempted to do a little fun version of Guess Who, one of my favorite games here on the show, and the one that Dave loves doing almost as much as his new segment, Shit in the Box, which we'll get to just a little bit later along the way. But I'm not going to do that except for one little tiny bit for all of you listening in TV land out there. Especially our friends in Indonesia. The song is from an album that will be released on April the 19th. It's called Duets, and it's an
Dutes.
Dutes. Dutes. That's the Indonesian. Now we're going to make fun of it. That's how Billie Eilish, how would she pronounce it?
Dutes.
Yeah, let's start messing with Billie right off the bat. Anyway, the song is a duet because that's the name of the album. The song title is Strong. It was co-written by the featured guy on the album. It's Glen Campbell, and what probably will be his last album.
If you think.
Well, I mean the one released. You know what I'm saying. He's been dead now like 8-9 years or something.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Well, several body organs ago for me, but that's just the way it works. Anyway, the guy singing on it with him is not a co-writer of the song. Glenn co-wrote the song. Nevertheless, all that notwithstanding, I'm going to play this for you, just a little excerpt, as we do, and not tell you who the other guy is, and then we'll talk about it. Do you know who the other guy is? Did you look this up?
No, I didn't look it up.
Well, all right, then we'll have a little baby version of Guess What? Here's Glenn Campbell, and guess it's called Strong.
As I look into these eyes, one.
It's a lovely tune by the wonderful Lennon Sisters. Isn't it a nice song? You enjoy it very much.
Yeah, I love Glenn Gable's voice. Always have.
Me too. And he'll be around for a long time, vocally speaking. Got any idea who that lower register? You know why? Because it's so cool, I think. And again, he had nothing to do with writing the song, but he's the duet partner.
Mm-hmm.
He's singing in a register I've never heard him sing before because he's usually known for singing tenor and even high soprano voice. That's Brian Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Singing with Glenn Campbell, or as he's known around here, hi, I'm Glenn Campbell.
I'm Glenn Campbell.
That's what I call him.
Campbell?
That's right. What am I thinking? What? NCIS New Orleans. Did you ever watch that one?
No.
There was Scott Bakula played the main guy, the Gibbs type guy, and his name was Dwayne Pride, but his nickname was King, like as in King Cake in New Orleans and all that. But there was a co-star, and Lucas Black is the actor's name, and the character was from Mississippi. And he was always, when he would speak, it was a drama, but it was like, he sounded a little bit like Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies when he would speak, and he would always say, Pride, we gonna go get ourselves some cake? One time. One of those Ross Perot voices.
Yeah, yeah.
King, here we go. Yes. Here we go. There it is. Hi, I'm Glenn Campbell.
I'm Ross. You're the boss.
That's right. And there it goes. Anyway, duets, April 19th, or dutes.
Yeah.
Ask, you know
I'm
what?
I'm definitely going to pick that up.
If you're going to buy it in concrete form, then go into your local shop and ask for dutes and tell them that Dave Simmons said you had that album.
You got that new Glenn Campbell dutes record?
Dutes. Yeah, we're going to be doing that for a long time. All right, maybe this, maybe that, and maybe a little bit of that, and maybe a little of this. We don't know until we open our drawer and say, hey, what's in the audio files this week?
They're here.
Same, like, little freaking files.
You'll like these. You'll really dig them, that tab and all the other pimply hyperboles.
I am experiencing audio suggestion, Captain.
Could you please write it down and file it away someplace?
You are a file, that is all. Nothing more.
It's great, it's old, it's the bloody Beatles' White Album, shut up.
Did I just learn something new and have fun doing it? What?
All right!
Check it out.
The audio
check files. It out.
That's because that's what we're all about here, is doing something new and having people have a learning experience.
And having people check it out.
That's right. Because we haven't got anything else to do until our new fun favorite album, Dutes, comes out April 19th.
Hey, it's a monumental day.
Wait a minute, instant poll, hang on.
What?
That's it. All right. People called in. They're tired of that already. Let's not do it anymore.
Let's not dutes it anymore.
Let's not dutes it anymore. All right. Here's a fun thing. We haven't been keeping up with the latest creations from AI for a while. I think it merits having probably a little mini segment for the next few shows. But this week, I want to share something that was tagged on at the end of a couple of songs. And I think sometimes when I'm sitting around doing the stuff that I do now for a non-living, God willing, that I got too much time on my hands. Those people who read my political material are absolutely convinced I've got too much time on my hands.
Yeah, that you've got too much time on your hands.
And I'm proud to say that's the case. Thank you very much. But this guy, this is too cool. He took AI and editing materials and software, and he took a half a dozen artists, recording artists, chopped up their voices, added to it the pieces of music that went with the sound and asked AI to, and then combined it with the sound that you would probably hear if you were falling down the stairs, and put together a little montage. So it'll be self-explanatory when you hear it. It's absolutely stupid goofball fun, but then, hey, so are we. And we cleverly are going to call this a minute and 3 seconds of the famous Falling Down the Stairs.
Starting with Michael Jackson. David Lee Roth from Van Halen. Hello, it's Johnny Cash.
Oh, went down, 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 I fell.
Freddie Mercury. Thank you very much. It's Elvis.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yes, sir. Lord have mercy.
Whitney Houston.
What?
Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah, I'm falling.
James Hetfield from Metallica.
Oh.
And Aerosmith's Steven Tyler. And as the Beatles used to say, all together now.
I I have to tell you something. I've listened to that, like, including editing, about 7,000 times, and it still makes me laugh ridiculously.
It's funny.
It is
pretty funny.
Goofy, stupid shit. And just to show you how much we appreciate all of you, this week on the Audio Files Files, which is our companion podcast where you get full versions of the songs that we excerpt throughout the episode, I just put that entire thing on there, too, for a little bonus edition so you can play it for your friends. All right, the other file this week, and this will be a regular thing, I think, in the segment. Each and every week or in the show, each and every week, Billboard magazine comes out with their Hot 100 chart. And songs go into it as new recordings in the chart. We've been ragging on this Future thing for the last couple of weeks, how it came in at number one. You know, a lot are talking about vaginas, but we're not going to go there just yet.
Why not?
Well, because we've been there on because we're on Dutes this week.
I go to vaginas every chance I get.
Which is part of the reason you're so damn tired all the time.
That I am exhausted. I will give you that.
It's because you're not 22 anymore. Or 12.
I am 12 mentally.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right. So I was talking about inches. All right. Oh wait a minute. That gets a laugh. Anyway, so I thought here's what we'll do. Each week we'll pick the song that has come in new at the highest point in any other new record just for fun. Therefore, ergo, it would be a way of saying hello to that song, and that would be the highest hello. Ergo, it all puts together, and we call it the highest hello at the top of the charts.
At this very moment, the highest
hello!
The top of the charts.
The audio files.
I saw, coincidentally, even after this song was selected for this, because it came in, I think, at number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 this week for the first week, I saw a little mini reel video just a day or two ago of a young lady who was interviewed and said about her career at the time, a very young girl, I would say about 10, maybe 12, 13 years old, and said she was at some kind of industry function. It was a red carpet thing or quasi out in front of the building before the ceremony or whatever. But again, she was like 11 or 12.
Right.
And the interviewer said, well, who is it you're really excited about seeing and all the rest of that? And she goes, well, I really love Beyonce. She's been my inspiration and blah, 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 blah. Well, it was an 11-year-old
Miley
Cyrus.
Nice.
Coming in at number 6 this week, it's Beyonce and Miley.
No jump in the gun, but we're both still young. One day we won't be.
Didn't know what I want till I saw your face. Say goodbye to the old me.
Came out of nowhere, didn't give no warning.
Pedal so heavy like a two most wanted. And I
don't know what you're doing tonight, but I'll be your shotgun rider till the day I die. Smoke out the window, flying down the 405. I'll be your backseat, baby, driving you crazy anytime you like. Oh, I'll be your shotgun rider till the day I die.
Number 6 on your Hot Hit Parade. That's from Beyonce's album.
Those aren't the words to Landslide.
They're not. But there's a similarity there. Well, you know, there's enough notes to keep it out.
I see my reflection.
The whole presentation. And first of all, kudos to Miley. And last week I was ragging on Megyn Kelly, deservedly so. But, and talking about how Beyonce, everything she does is, like, to quote her, everything is like the second coming. She is a considerable talent. But I think one of the reasons that people get bent out of shape about it is because some people, and I don't get bent, but I get like, yeah, I totally get the idea. It's like Beyonce is really, really, really good, but she's not the only really, really, really good singer on the planet. And there's no such thing as like this bullshit of the greatest, the bestest of all time, and et cetera. Right. And Miley more than holds her own.
Well, Miley, right there. I think this is just my opinion. I think Miley's a much better singer than Beyonce.
There you go.
Yeah, Beyonce's a great singer, but Miley's just another level.
And you could tell. And then credit where it's due. We'll give it, we don't know what went on behind the scenes or in the studio, but clearly they worked together pretty well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, well,
I don't think Beyonce has any agenda. You know, other than
making money. Being the most important person in the world. The old Saturday Night Live.
That's a good agenda.
The old Saturday Night Live riff, the girl that imitated Celine Dion. I am Celine Dion, the greatest singer in the world. Anyway, it's called Most Wanted, and that is from Cowboy Carter, that big old album that's just going down. So check it out.
You're listening to Scott Edward Phelps, Dave Simmons, The Audiophiles.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yes,
he slams his poop.
Lord have mercy.
Well, he hasn't fallen down the stairs yet, but it's time to say, hey, Dave.
Dave Simmons.
Hey.
Dave.
Hey.
What you got? What's up? Mm-hmm.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
You know what would be really cool? It'd be really cool if they set up some gigantic public address speakers and had that playing 24/7 at the border. You know, you got to have a laugh. If you're going to have people dying and
you might as well laugh about it.
The nation being ripped apart, then we might as well have a little fun.
We might as well have some fun.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the reason why I brought up Morrison, and you want to play that little clip of the interview for me?
For Nickel, I will.
Yeah, well, I've got 10 cents. You give me change.
Hey, you know, I saw this great drummer this past week.
Oh, Lord.
That story coming up. Meanwhile, Jim, when is this?
1968.
68, Jim Morrison of the Doors.
I think the two basic types of music indigenous to this country are black music, blues, and the kind of folk music that was brought over from Europe. I guess they call it country music, or the kind of West Virginia high and lonesome sound. Those are the two main streams of root American music. 10 years ago, what they called rock and roll was kind of a blending of those two forms. And I guess what's happening now is that rock is kind of dying out, and everyone is going back to the roots again. Some are going back into country, and some are going back into basic blues. I guess in 4 or 5 years, the new generation's music will be a synthesis of those two elements and some third thing. It might rely heavily on electronics, tapes. I can kind of envision maybe one person with a lot of machines, tapes, and electronic setups, singing or speaking and using machines.
I find that interesting, but I find it interesting, too, that his timing was, didn't he say within the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, it took a little bit longer than that, but.
Yeah, but he was right there.
But he nailed it, and this is I took the long way around the barn to get to the point. He just described electronic dance music.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. And I have a new single coming out, an EDM single. It's called Boom in the Box on 418 Records, and it'll be released soon. We'll premiere it. When it's released, we'll premiere it here on the show.
He's getting a standing ovation.
Thank you. Even though it couldn't be me, it's got to be somebody else.
No, it's you. There's that girl holding up that sign. Dave, you're the father of my... No,
but I, you know, the person that I wrote this with is a DJ.
Okay.
And he very competent keyboard player as well. But he's that one guy that, with a bunch of machines,
mm-hmm.
was able to create music. And, you know, we came up with it with a kind of a, it's a trance, electronic EDM dance track.
What's the name of the track?
Boom in the Box.
Boom in the Box.
Yes.
You're on a box thing lately. Yeah, last week it was Shit in the Box.
Shit in the Box. Then it's Boom in the Box.
What's I shudder to ask what's after that.
You got
to
wait and see. I don't want to give it away.
And sure you don't confuse those two.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
But, you know, he nailed it. I'm not opposed to technology if musicians are using it.
To enhance their skill
what they
and
do.
Talent.
Right.
Yes.
What really kills me is when somebody, I had a friend that actually I played on the album, and then everything I did got erased because he hired a keyboard player to program my drum parts that I'd already played. And it just, things like that drive me insane.
Well, rightly so. That argument's been has come forward since not too long after Jim Morrison said what he said back in the 1960s. And possibly even before you were born and I was a young sprig screwing around. And I said the same thing then about the equipment. If it's used to enhance the performance or skill or talent of those that are dealing with, but the problem with it is, and that problem's only gotten worse, and AI is the latest high-tech version of what we're talking about, is that any moron who can turn on a machine and punch a button can start making music.
Well, when the equipment is your talent, that's the problem.
Exactly.
And you know what I mean?
And you don't do it with a classic legendary style like making people fall down the stairs, which is kind of, that's going to live forever. When that guy dies, that's his obit.
In anything in the hands of a competent musician.
Yeah.
Should be acceptable.
Yes.
But when the equipment is your talent, that's when I have an issue with it.
I take issue with calling it talent.
You know, well, yeah. But,
just to be
but yeah, but stay tuned, everybody. Single will probably be released within the next 2 weeks.
We'll preview, we'll feature it here.
We're going to do an exclusive release on Beatport, and then it will hit the streaming services, Spotify, et cetera, all the streaming services. Wherever you get your music, it will be.
Well, hell, man, you've got me all tingly now. Yes, you do. We're adopting a new, more music policy around here and, a much looser bathroom schedule. No, that's the Big Bang Theory. Sorry, that's still good. This week, where's the new music? Well, for heaven's sakes, wake up. It's right here in the stacks.
Yo, DJ, play my funky tune.
I wish I had a record like that.
Play it for her.
Don't make any noise when the music's playing.
Play it for me.
I don't like any noise when the music's playing.
Play it.
In song form.
Wax on.
The audio files.
What? Ow, the hubbub.
What's new?
What's new indeed? Keith Urban, Snoop Dogg. You don't often hear those two names in the same sentence.
No.
But you just did right here on the old program.
I saw a picture of them together recently.
Well, they're promoting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're promoting this particular song. Here's a little excerpt and then we'll tell you where, why, and what. It's brand new music on the audio files. It's called Let It Roll. Mm.
Another day, another morning. Another party living in my head. Wish I could have had a warning, but I better get up out of bed. Got things to do, people to see, everybody wanna get a piece of me. So I tell you what I do. I let it roll, I let it ride, I let it go, I let it slide right by. I let it roll when your body can't catch a feeling, when your feet are stuck on the ceiling, spinning out and don't know where to go.
Still in the field and I'm back on the run. I came in the party to have me some fun. I ride with these cats so I'm never alone. DJ, please, could you play my song?
Let it roll. Let it ride. Let it go.
I have always loved Keith Urban. I do.
Well, you know,
it's my guilty pleasure.
There you go. Well, I got that 6 Degrees story where he recorded a song when he was with his little power trio in the very beginning back in the 90s called The Ranch. And they recorded a song that my friend Cyril Rawson and I wrote called Just Some Love. It was just a ditty. But still, it was The Ranch. They were on Capitol Records. Mm-hmm. And they had two singles that had done fair to Midland and hadn't really cracked through. And our song was destined to be the third single scheduled to be. And the suits at Capitol Records chose that period in history to decide to have a meeting one day and said, well, you know, we like the sound of that thing, but tell you the truth, it's that front guy, that Keith Urban guy. He's the real one. The band is okay, but it's like, why don't we put a real focus into that and say, okay, which is what suits do. So they pulled all the promotion for the band, and they turned Keith Urban into a star. Now, of course, Keith Urban wasn't going to release a thing with The Ranch, and so we missed our single, and then it's out there. So I can say Keith Urban recorded a song that
yes,
I wrote.
Yes, you can.
But much like West Virginia, it ended up being little more than heartbreak. So...
That you just described the entire music industry.
Well, I experienced it at first heart. That song, by the way, if you're wondering what the hell, Keith Urban and Snoop Dogg, it's from a movie. It's a soundtrack. It's a Cats, not Cats, not like Memories. The Garfield movie.
Oh, okay.
The big old plump orange cat. It's
the cute plump orange. Anime.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought you were describing somebody else.
No, not yet. I'm going to try to curtail that as much as possible. Don't count on it. All right. The next new music, and this is a little, I'm slipping this one in. I think on Dave.
I had a dime for every time I said that.
On prep sheet. You know, I took the rim. Oh, wait, it's here. I thought I had misplaced that somehow. Okay. In fact, you get two for that one. That's a double rim shot. I slipped this one in on Dave as a no, I'm not going to do it. Dudes was juvenile enough. As a way of coming along with my little impish game that I love to play called Guess What, but it's or Guess Who or whatever the guessing is. It's a mystery track. It is new music, and I'm not going to tell you any more about it because I think anything I say might lend to give it away. But let's have fun for just a minute. Listen to the excerpt, and then we'll talk.
Has an almost Asian feel to it, doesn't it?
Not to mention it's out of tune.
We laid on Primrose Hill, didn't know it still. You meant what you said. We laid there forever, forgot everything. Kissed beneath the stars.
Primrose Hill is the name of the song. Have you heard it before?
No, but I know who it is based upon.
You do?
One telltale.
And what would that be?
That's Sean Lennon playing guitar.
Yeah.
I can tell by the style.
Well, it's funny. When I started to give it, when you jumped in and said it sounded like an Asian beginning, I just thought, well, you have no idea. Maybe it's just me and my OCD, but that those accent notes on the acoustic in the very, very beginning, it's out of tune.
But I think that's purpose.
Well, that's what they'll say.
Well, no, he's, you know who he's, Sean's been playing with, Primus, the singer from Primus.
Yeah.
Who their music is so out there.
Okay.
And from all accounts, Sean Lennon has become an extraordinary guitar player.
Well, that's fine. It's just, yeah. And I'm a musician, recording guy, songwriter too, but at the same time, it's like, it's, if you're going to make the point.
Right, and that's James McCartney, because I heard a rumor they were working together.
Yeah. Actually, it's off of his new, James McCartney's new album called Beautiful.
Cold, who cares? And it was right.
Well, if it was James McGurk, nobody would give him the time of day. Seems like a nice kid, but.
Oh, yeah. I, you know.
Nevertheless.
And he's trying.
Well, he doesn't have to, but it's good that he's doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And his dad is like really old and can't live forever. So maybe James is primed to step into his footsteps when the time comes along. Nah. He's not going to make that. And then, of course, there's your Sean Ono, which is not one word, Lennon, who co-wrote the song, but it's called Primrose Hill. So nice guess.
Yeah, but Sean's ended up becoming a great musician in his own right, which is nice.
It is. It's true. And I'm, you know, maybe they can, as they get older. I mean, this is the gray hair popper. I'm making fun of James McCartney. James McCartney's like 53 years old.
Right, right.
You know, he's like just a few years younger than you are. And it's like, whoa, you know, that's weird and,
yeah,
and titillating at the same time.
The crazy
time.
Thing with Sean, when he put out that very first album, it was awful. I mean, awful is being nice.
Well, he was...
he was like 16 or 17, something like that.
Yeah.
But then he went on the road with Cibo Matto, and they kind of taught him how to write and taught him how to play. So everything he's done since then has been... Like, Dead Meat was an incredible song.
He blossomed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his mama stopped singing, which made the world a better place to live no matter what was going on.
Are you sure?
Well, she's 93 or 99 now, so we have to be nice to her. All right, final on the list of new music. And this is not anything like, wow, Rock'em Sock'em. It's kind of, well, here it is. Tom Paxton was, and still is, he's still living, is in his 80s, a seminal folk writer, folk singer. Written a bunch of stuff. Can't think of any song titles, and I didn't write them down. Do the wiki on him. It's T-O-M-P-A-X-T-O-N, Tom Paxton.
Isn't he kind of like country music's John Prine?
Yeah, but he was never really thought of in country music in anyway, in the conventional sense. It was more a folk kind of
folk,
thing that he came out of, more from the Tim Buckley, Jeff Buckley, whole bunch that did that kind of stuff. Woody, Pete Seeger, more folk music than rock music or country music. But there's a tribute album coming out April 12th called Bluegrass Sings Paxton. And can you guess what it is? A variety of bluegrass artists singing the songs of, go ahead, guess. That's right, Tom Paxton. Not to be confused with Del Paxton, who was the guy.
Or Bill Paxton.
That Thing You Do, mm-hmm. the jazz singer. Or Bill Paxton, who's sadly dead. Nevertheless, Bluegrass Sings Paxton features a variety of bluegrass artists, including an award-winning young lady who in the bluegrass community is thought of as quite the talent and accomplished performer, but in like the real world is not a household name. Nevertheless, it is the words and music of Tom Paxton, as put and performed by the lady named Claire Lynch.
Across your shoulders, through the frosted window pane, the sun grows bolder. Your hair flows down your pillow, you're still sleeping. I think I'll wake you now and hold you, tell you again the things I told you. Behold, I give you the morning, I give you the day.
I have always had a major soft spot for bluegrass and country bluegrass music, and I think it goes back to, we were talking before we got started here on live microphones about nostalgic type stuff. I've been enamored of watching old reruns of The Love Boat and the original George Reeves Superman TV series lately. And I've even said to Dave, when I stumble across an episode of The Lawrence Welk Show, of all things, on PBS, I just like them. They're charming and they're quiet. They're primal. They're fun. It's mm-hmm. just, there's so much chaos and
like
turmoil.
Like I said, comfort food.
That's exactly right. And Claire's performance of that song is a lovely.
That was nice. That was nice.
She has quite the pleasant bluegrass voice.
Because of my affinity for Peter Tork, I always like a good banjo part. And that that song had a great banjo part. Because one thing that the Monkees didn't get credit for is Peter Tork worked the banjo into a lot of pop songs that became hits.
You know, I think his prodigious talent is going to be the reason they eventually get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't think they're ever getting into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's just me poking it down. Okay. And by the way, speaking of banjo, and not to wander too far off the Claire path, because I have a little something here to add to that. Steve Martin and a lady by the name of Allison Brown, who I knew back in Nashville when she was first getting started. She's a banjo prodigy that doesn't, within the industry, she's super known, and banjo fans are very enamored of her. She's not at the higher level. She just plays music with the beauty of it. They've got a duet album out.
Oh, really?
Which Steve Martin has done a number of duet albums.
Steve Martin's a good banjo player.
He's mm-hmm. a prodigy.
Yeah.
And there's some good stuff. Look up Steve Martin, Allison Brown. It's Alisonbrow, and along with Steve Martin. But as far as Claire Lynch is concerned.
But wait! There's more!
That's right, and there's a story.
Here's a story.
As I said, Claire Lynch is a well-known and very respected member of the bluegrass community. She's been recording and releasing albums for nigh on 30-plus years now. Back in the late 80s, she recorded an album called Moonlighter, which was nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Bluegrass Album. And one of the songs on that particular album was written by a young lady named Sonia Bird Yancey. Yes, Bird was her real last name. She came from Berea, Kentucky, which is actually where Naomi Judd came from. Before she was Naomi Judd, she was Diana Schwarzenegger or whatever the hell her name was. Bang, there you go, dudes. But she was from the country, and Claire, and you can tell in Claire Lynch's voice that she's a Kentucky child or a Tennessee child, wherever she happens to be from. But the song Sonia Yancey got cut on the thing was a track. The original version of the song was, the title of the song was and remains, My Heart is a Diamond, which is a very nice bluegrassy country sounding sort of title. But Sonia wasn't satisfied with the construction of the song in general, so she took it to a couple of friends of hers, and they sat down and they worked on it, reworked it. What they basically did was they dismantled the song. They kept the title and basically the hook lyric, and then they reconstructed the entire song, and then Claire Lynch got wind of it, and she recorded it, and she put it on her Grammy award-winning, she didn't win the award, actually, but she was nominated for Best Bluegrass Album. And here's a little snippet of that song that Sonia Yancey started out with. Claire Lynch singing My Heart is a Diamond in true bluegrass country wailing fashion.
I have known heartache and love cold as snow. Days spent forgiving
just pure old true coal mining kind of music. Mm-hmm. There you go. Sonia Bird Yancey took the song to a friend of hers, a very accomplished guitarist and composer named Stephen Sheehan. And the third guy in the group was a friend of Steve's and a friend of Sonia. And actually, Sonia and that guy worked together for about 2 years in the Tower Record Store in Nashville, Tennessee. Yes, that's right.
It was you.
It was me. And that was the one that was on the Grammy-nominated album that makes me able to say I'm a Grammy.
Would you lose the drummer's number?
No. Yeah. That's Claire's recording. They don't use drums and all that stuff. You know, it's good old pure music. But now you can say you've heard Grammy-nominated, and we didn't win the Grammy. You see, my next autobiography is going to be entitled So Close.
So Close.
Because there's so many times that I've been so close.
And the winner is not me.
And let me tell you something, though. You know the old expression, it's an honor just to be nominated?
No.
Bullshit. Just bullshit.
Scott Edward Phelps. The Audio Files.
It's a girl's night out. Honey, there ain't no doubt. I'm gonna dance every dance till the boys go home.
Well, let me tell you something about that. That's why I'm known to sing with Naomi, speaking of Girls Night Out. And in this particular case, well, it wasn't girls in the conventional sense, and night wasn't what was out. If that makes no sense, stand by. It's this week's 6 Degrees.
6 Degrees of SEP.
This news story, it took place a week or 10 days ago, and it actually falls instead of, I can name drop with it and I will, but it more falls into the category of like naked news meets lawbreakers, so we combined them all together and we're going to turn it into naked lawbreakers.
Totally naked, baby, totally nude.
Grace Kelly. Not to be confused with the charming actress who was in iconic films like Rear Window and High Society and then went off and got married to a prince and then had a stroke and drove off a cliff and got killed, and it was very tragic, and she was like, there you go. Not that Grace Kelly. The 27-year-old Grace Kelly, who is cooling her heels in the Elmore County Jail down in Alabama after being arrested on April 5th for indecent exposure. And if you don't know her name besides the movie star, Grace Kelly is the 27-year-old daughter of Winona.
Oh, really?
From her marriage to a guy named Arch Kelly back in the 1990s. Well, Grace has had some issues. She was arrested for indecent exposure and then slapped with a soliciting prostitution charge.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I knew this was going to be right up your alley. But she says, quote, "My mom thinks I'm on drugs, right? She wants me to go rehab. But when I came to jail, I took a drug test and I passed it. I'm not on drugs. My mom won't listen to me. She won't believe me. She thinks I'm out here doing crazy shit." She was stopped by a, here's the actual blurb. "When officers from the Millbrook Police Department first approached her, she said, I gave them all my information. I was like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I have no drugs on me. She crossed the street away from the cops. She heard sirens. The officer pulled up. He literally told me, get on my effing knees. So I get on my knees and put my wrists out and said, I'm going to keep walking that way because I have a right to travel. He said, you walk that way, I'm going to take you to effing jail." What she'd apparently done was, and the original news story said, was that she exposed her breasts and her vagina.
Nice.
But she was just trying to get a ride. Now, here's her reasoning. She said nobody from her famous family, including her actress Aunt Ashley Judd or her brother Elijah from that, I can't remember who his daddy is. It's hard to keep track. Who is actually, this is too cool for school. Elijah is not in the business at all. He's a game warden in the state of Tennessee.
Well, yeah.
Go figure. There's a reality.
Somebody's got to do it.
The reality show's coming. You just know it's coming. Grace Kelly says it's because her grandmother, her grandmother's suicide. Because, you know, Naomi killed herself two years ago. And Grace says, "I don't know when my grandma shot herself, she like cursed me. But ever since she's been dead, I was holding a sign that said, ride for a ride. All I meant was I would help you out if you would." And it was, "Oh, yeah, we know you're going to help you out." So Winona won't answer the phone, and Grace is languishing.
What'd she
in jail.
Look like? No? Okay.
Not that that should matter.
Well, it does matter.
Well, she's obviously, do the Google, you'll be able to see. She's not unattractive, but it's hard to tell because she's obviously bloated from alcohol and she's a little ravaged from drugs. And other than that, she's perfectly fine. And she looks like Wally Cleaver's prom date. What do you want from me? I don't know.
Oh,
you know,
Lord.
The damnedest thing about what you just said was, what? This is how close you and I have become. When I was originally typing up this story and editing out the pieces, I was thinking to myself, you know, he's going to ask me what she looks like. I should probably have a picture handy. Now, the reason that I even brought the story up was because of my own personal connection. I've mentioned many times that, as a matter of fact, there's
so you stood on the road with a ride for a ride sign.
That's what I'm saying. I did, but I got a ride. I didn't have to go to jail. And I was in that cult for about 3 years, too. It was all I could do to get the hell out. I mentioned a minute ago Sonia Yancey, who co-wrote My Heart is a Diamond with us. Well, actually, Steve and I dismantled her song and reconstructed all got a cut out of it with Claire Lynch. But Sonia and Winona grew up together in Berea. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, wow.
Naomi Judd was from Berea, Kentucky. And that's when Winona, her birth name was Christina. It was Diana and Christina before they became Naomi.
Right.
And
I always liked Ashley Judd.
Winona. It's kind of sad. She's kind of gone a little bit left of center, and she's starting to look like her mom, a little puffy and a little strange. But back when she was a cutie pie, she was something else. You know, not to be all misogynistic and shit. The other reason, though, that I bring up the Judds as frequently as possible, it's because a song that I wrote with my Canadian friend Cyril Rawson and I, we wrote specifically with the Judds in mind. We pitched it to them. We knew damn well that it was a perfect song for them. They knew it too, but for whatever reasons, because my autobiography is going to be called So Close, they decided not to record it. We said, well, yeah, it's a great song, and as a matter of fact, the demo's pretty damn good, so we released it ourselves.
But I don't think I could keep that vow. I look at you and I know now nothing grows if it don't rain. No pain, no gain.
That's what I'm talking about. Became the number one Canadian country single in the year 1991.
Nice.
So thank you, Winona, for, well, I shouldn't say that. Colleen was a real sweetheart, and we made like $11 in Canada, but it would have been a life changer if they'd recorded
the song.
I think
you could live comfortably for $11 a year in Canada.
In Canada. That was then. This is now. But thanks nevertheless. And Grace, tell you what, give us a call after the show, and Dave will put you up.
I'll give you a ride.
He's a human.
I don't know if I want to ride back, but I'll give you a ride.
He'll give you a ride. Several lines, too, and not the white kind. All right, this week's thematic is going to be short, sweet, hit it, and quit it, because it's just a tiny bone in my throat, and you'll understand why. I know. In just a second. And Dave, don't take this personally. Shut up and sing.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to sing a song for all of you.
You talk too much, you worry me to death. You just talk too much.
All right, here's the thing. The original phrase "shut up and sing" came about when the Dixie Chicks a number of years ago were touring. George W. Bush was still president, and Iran or whatever the hell was going on over there, and they were touring internationally, and Natalie Maines in the middle of their concert said, "We'd just like to say that we're ashamed that our president is from Texas." Okay. Back in those days, it wasn't like it is now. People actually got bent out of shape for reasonable reasons instead of ridiculous reasons to some extent. But the Dixie Chicks got pilloried, and they were banned from country music and all this other bullshit. And Shut Up and Sing became this thing where it was like, you know, we don't pay to listen to your political opinions. We pay to listen to your songs when we come to your concert.
Right.
I get that, but here's the other part of that. Tough titty. Learn to live with it. If everybody's entitled to express themselves, including the red cap idiots, then everybody's entitled to express themselves.
Yes.
If you've got a problem with an artist recording or doing something on stage and taking a minute to make a comment of their political opinion or something, then go get your refund and walk out.
Go get a beer during that period.
Just leave it alone. But don't sit there and say they can't shut up and saying they can't do that. But this, my thing with it, has absolutely nothing to do with any of that. I'm just saying that was the original origin of the phrase.
Right, right.
Here's my thing with Shut Up and Sing. And I call it, very cleverly, pop music self-worship. And there's always been a certain number of people in the industry who are more impressed with themselves than anybody else is.
Well,
that's part of the human
all
condition.
All walks of life, actually.
And
yeah.
There you go. Even podcast broadcast. We'll leave it up to you all to decide which of the two of us falls into that category. All I can say is that I wouldn't shit in a box for anybody. That's just me. I'd do it for money. And I wouldn't ask people to get in the car and take me for a ride. But that said, I whatever flipped my switch on this whole concept here for a minute caught me. Here's three quick examples of what I'm talking about. Cardi B posted this just briefly a little while ago, fairly recently. Quote, 6 years ago, I released my first album and it broke so many records. Golly, 6 years later, I'm preparing to drop the next one this year. It's so different from what everyone is expecting and I'm so excited. Love you guys and thank you for the support. I'll talk to you because I've been so busy these last few days. And yes, I am purposely emphasizing the words I, me, and mine for a particular reason. Billie Eilish just Instagrammed. My third album comes out May 17th. And I'm doing that because it's like all these letters that go out forever. So crazy to be writing this now. I'm nervy and excited. We couldn't be more proud. We want you guys to really be happy. We want to give it to you all at once. And then I think here's the one that really flipped the switch in the big way, and then I'll tell you what the hell I'm talking about. This was something that right after the release of Cowboy Carter, Beyonce released, I guess it was an Instagram post or something. Pardon me. Quote, today marks the 10-day countdown until the release of Act 2. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to all the supporters. I feel honored to be the first black woman with the number one single on the Hot Country Songs chart. That wouldn't have happened without the outpouring of support from each and every one of you. Okay, well, that's a way of saying thanks to the fans. I'll let you have it. This album has been 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience I had years ago when I did not feel welcome, and it was very clear I wasn't. And it goes on for about 5.5 paragraphs, and I finally said, you know, it's enough already.
Right.
And here's the metaphor to clarify the problem I have with it, and it's just an opinion on my part. And it's not a big deal. It's not going to change the world to change it, but it just pisses me off because it's like, imagine Da Vinci. I thought of this myself. You're going to like this.
Okay.
Imagine Da Vinci unveils the Mona Lisa for the first time. And he has this to say to the assembled.
It's a man, baby.
And he has this to say to the assembled patrons, as it were. Hey, guys, here's my latest, hopefully to become iconic painting. And I was trying to convey here was, and it goes on for about an hour as he explains what the painting is supposed to mean and what it really says. So I sure hope you guys like it, guys, because I did it for you. Oh, for me to be sure, but for all you guys, for sure, just let the art speak for itself.
Yep.
That's what I mean when I say shut up and sing, create the music. Express yourself as you see fit and you are so moved to do. Release it where you can, get people to listen to it where they will, and just let them enjoy and hear and make up their own minds. This self-gratifying musical masturbation is bullshit. And it's just, that's all I'm talking
about. I saw an interesting clip of Jimi Hendrix on the Dick Cavett show. And he said, Dick Cavett gave him a compliment, and Hendrix said, I don't really like compliments because I feel like they get in the way.
There you go. Well, that's not the culture we live in now.
No.
And this is my point. And if I, you know what, and this is old fogyism, I admit it freely. It is a little stuffy because in a hip and groovy time like we live now, nobody says ladies and gentlemen anymore.
They just say, hey, guys.
It's guys.
Yeah.
Everybody is guys. And this is the other part. As long as we're going to, let me throw one more on the stack and then we'll move along to more interesting pursuits. When I say thank you to somebody in a professional capacity, and by that I mean, let's say if I'm in a restaurant and I ask the server to bring me some extra ketchup and they bring me some extra ketchup and they put it on the table and they go, here's your ketchup. And I say, thank you. No problem. Don't say no problem to me. Say, you're welcome.
Right.
Thank you. You're welcome. That's how it works. Thank you. You're welcome. Not no problem.
No, it's good. It's good.
And I know this sounds like pick and fly shit out of pepper, but there's a certain attitude involved. And it's the same thing with, like I said, I use my Da Vinci example. Paint the painting. There it is. You see it. You hear it for what it is.
Let enjoy
that.
There,
let it happen and stop. It just sounds like you're trying to get.
Well, that's what art is supposed to move the person to think what they think about.
That's exactly what
the piece of work, you know. It's crazy.
Oh, here, a piece of work. All right. So here's my last warning to you ladies in that particular case, but guys, when you do this, do stop doing it, especially Queen Bee Megan. Think about putting a pin in it, think about putting a sock in it, or give it a rest, or we're gonna have to put a whammy on you, and that's gonna come in the form of an AI ring. I'm up on him,
all the single ladies. 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 should have put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. Don't be mad once you see that P on it. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
Speaking of good old-fashioned bluegrass.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'm speechless.
Dave Simmons.
A good quality item.
The Audiophiles.
Well, you know, you are a good quality item.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Dave's got his little sleepies on this afternoon.
I was up at 6 a.m.
Well, you're working 27.3 days in there, and there you go. So you know what? It's time to rest it up. We've moved things around a little bit to keep things fresh and not stale. It's time for Dave's Product Palooza.
Yes.
Gather round, kids.
The best for less.
It's just what you need.
It's a good quality item.
The ladies really dig these things, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Yes, sir. We're next month's garage sale for sure.
Dave Simmons.
Wherever toys are sold.
I'll be here after the meeting to hand out information packets and take your checks. Just make them out to cash. That's my maiden name.
It was just the anniversary of Gilbert's passing a couple days ago. Bless he was heart. So funny.
He was.
Oh, man. Yes, we had a couple sold-out shows. Had a great private event last Friday night for Wyoming Millworks. It was really cool.
Yeah,
down at the Hyatt in Dewey Beach. Coming up this week, Phillies White Sox.
You know, I don't mean to break your train of thought, but you know the really endearing thing about you?
Yes.
Among the many endearing things about you?
What?
Is that you are so committed to being a good person, and you are, and good to people and pleasant to people, and you are, and gracious to a fault at all times, and always willing to go the extra mile. And it's very clear to me from having watched what you do performance-wise over the last, since I gotten to know you, what seems like 50 years now. You'll play for anybody the time, no matter what, no matter where.
Yes.
And, you know, from the smallest little, you know, if there are two people listening to this thing and you've seen everything that's on TV and you're like out of Doritos and you've got nothing, just get in touch with Dave and he'll bring some form of music over to you. And
That's what we're here for. You know, you try to brighten people's lives.
You know,
I was given a limited amount of talent to do what
no,
I do.
No.
But,
I would say moderate, at least moderate.
Yeah.
Not a little
but
bit.
But it couldn't be me. It didn't look like me, but,
Goots.
We're doing Phillies White Sox and the Bad Bunny after party up at Wells Fargo Center Friday night.
I always think of rotten meat when I hear the expression
Bad Bunny. That's roadkill. Hot Latin artist right now.
Somebody should tell the guy that's a roadkill expression.
I when we're playing, we get them coming up. You know any Bad Bunny? You know any Bad Bunny? And we're like, okay. But, so those are my upcoming events. Penn's Landing the week after that. Another Neil Diamond show in Philadelphia, but we'll touch that next week. Hey, can't touch that. Anyway, Trinity Cymbals, Robbie and Lynn, thank you.
And you know
so,
what? Yes. You're totally self-entertaining too. I could have gone out for a smoke and you would have been able to just do both sides back and forth. I'm just going to take a break.
Trinity Cymbals, Robbie and Lynn, thank you so much. Earl Teat Music, two locations, Delaware, Dale and Dean. Always big supporters of mine. Really appreciate it. And I'm in a band with Dean. HHG drums, which Sam is working on a new drum kit for me, which I'm excited about. Sam and Kevin, thank you so much for everything. Hello, Indonesia. Say it with me, Scott. Hello, Indonesia. Iowa at Solo Beat Drumsticks. As a matter of fact, I have a Solo Beat delivery out for delivery today. I'm getting another box from them of goodies. And Nia Cox at Excess Energy Drinks. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I think that was what was on the sign that you were holding, Cox, next to the road.
See, I was about to congratulate us because we had managed to get all the way through the Cox mentioned this week without ridiculing or humiliating ourselves or the young lady in question.
Yes.
Who clearly has a very good sense of humor.
Nia's awesome. She's awesome. And other than that, what's going on with you?
Not a damn thing. Here's I'll tell you about that in a minute. Here's a little thing. This episode of Dave, don't forget.
Put that away.
Don't forget, he's still waiting to hear from the shit in the box people because that's going to be a big, big, big moneymaker for him along the way.
Dude, I check my email every day.
I bet you do. And that's not a euphemism either. Still nothing. Nevertheless, this segment of Dave's Product Palooza this week was brought to you by what I'm sure will be Dave's next sponsor.
Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away goes troubles down the drain.
Roto-Rooter.
All right. Here's a thing. This is another little surprise for Dave. We're going to do this every week for a few weeks because I want to. I like the music, I like the presentation, and I want to hear stories, anecdotes, or fun anecdotes. I may not get one today because I'm springing it on him, but here's the way the segment's going to work, and it'll be self-explanatory after
sure.
that. It's called Up to 60 Seconds of Engine Number 9.
Number 9.
Engine Number 9.
Number 9. Number 9.
And I speak 9 languages.
Excellent!
9 languages indeed, and this week's engine number 9 comes in this form.
You wanna know. Maybe I'm not strong enough. Maybe you're not quite so tough. Maybe we should both give up.
So I spring it on Dave and don't,
sure,
don't
sure.
expect anything other than just whatever you
what,
come
you
up
want
with
a story?
Spontaneously. Well, what I was going to say was in the future now, and I won't tell you what the song is. I'm
sure.
just going to spring the song on you. If you have a memory of how it came about or any kind of anecdote connected with the song at any given time, feel free to share it. It's your moment, and I want to put you in the
spotlight. Sure, sure. When I wrote that, I was just sitting with my guitar, and I just came up with this little – that little intro guitar riff. I just was playing it over and over and over and over again, and I started thinking this would be really cool to have like a 3-part harmony all the way through the song.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any words or anything. And, I jotted down some words and it's about a couple breaking up and, you know, it just happens. I wasn't breaking up. I was just putting myself, you as a songwriter, you know, I was putting myself in a situation and that's basically how, you know, we've tried everything. Nothing's working. You know, so maybe.
Boy, if I had a nickel.
So, I take it to Nappy and he's my working partner. We've always worked together. And, I said, I'm hearing like a 3-part harmony. He goes, oh, that'd be awesome. So I didn't know if we were going to even put drums in that. I just had it as an acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to actually end our original showcase shows when we did the Millennium Music Festival in, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in 2000. We ended the show with that. We all came out around one mic, and I had a shaker, and I was just shaking for the tempo, and we did it vocally. That's how we ended our set, and the crowd was just floored because it was really tight. But the thing that I have a hard time listening to Engine 9 music now because of Chris, singer. He passed away from brain cancer two years ago, and I thought he was the best interpreter of my music. When I would present a song to him, it would take on a new life the moment he started singing.
Yeah, you were Bernie and he was Elton.
And it just, it makes me, when I hear it, I kind of get a little choked up. It makes me a little sad, you know. But I mean, it should be celebrated because he was so great.
It's a testament to what you guys were creating.
You know, he was great. But, most of the Engine 9 stuff Nappy and I wrote together and then, you know, brought Chris in and Chris.
Well, I think more people should hear it because I'm going to tell you, and this is going to sound so very much like me, but I don't care. I like it and I don't like anything.
Well, thank
so, you know,
well, thank you very much. That. Yeah. We are really,
and I know that sounds sarcastic to a lot of people, but Dave knows
I know.
That's my highest form of praise right there. I don't like anything and I like that. So
yeah, it was fun. Engine 9 was a really good band that happened, but there, like most bands, when you have really good players, there's really big egos and the egos clash and it never lasts long. That's why we turned Engine 9 into a drum DJ show. and Nappy's the DJ as well as a keyboard player and a songwriter.
There you go.
So yeah. And that's who he and I wrote the new single coming out soon. So
love it. Good for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Scott. That was a good surprise.
Be prepared for next week because we're going to do it again.
Just throw them on.
And if I had a nickel every time I heard that.
Scott Edward Phelps, Dave Simmons, two guys who know tunes, talking tunes.
the audio files.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Tell me I'm your own.
And no, that's not the sound Dave makes when he's attempting to shit in the box. That's
I can't hear that without visualizing that cartoon with the frog.
That's exactly right. And what's that have to do with anything? Well, it's a double way of saying bye-bye this week.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Can you move it out of here?
Okay, wrap it up, kid.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The audio files.
Clarence Henry passed away this past week in New Orleans. He was 87 years old, better known throughout the decades as a R&B pioneer, Clarence Frogman Henry, one of New Orleans' best-known old-time R&B singers. Natural causes, they think he was actually scheduled to appear at Jazz Fest, which is taking place down there this time of the year, so it wasn't something, he wasn't ill per se. If you're an R&B aficionado, you already know the story. If not, check him out on the wiki. It's a fun story. He had one major hit back in 1956, a song called Ain't Got No Home. And then he had a couple of records that sort of did nothing and blah, blah. And actually by the late 50s, as it says here, his popularity waned. I hate when that happens. And he ended up playing nightclubs on Bourbon Street, but he was much beloved down there and quite the performer as a lot of those guys are.
I tell you what, if you are beloved in New Orleans.
That's right.
I mean, they treat their musicians like gods down there.
And rightly so, you know, because they're genuinely pure performers.
And the people that come out of that, I mean, like Harry Connick, you know, Stanton Moore, people like that. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yep.
Amazing.
And Frogman got his nickname from, and he credited throughout his career, a disc jockey named Papa Stoppa, whose real name was Clarence Heyman. I love that stuff. And came up with the nickname Frogman, which actually, he said, mimicked Fats Domino's nickname back in the day. He was known as Fat Man.
Yes.
So Fat Man, Frogman, plus in the song, the big hit that he had, Ain't Got No Home, he made a frog-like sound, which actually you're going to hear because we're going to use the Clarence Henry's Frogman Henry song, Ain't Got No Home, as the outro. So you can give it a listen. It's also available in its full form on our companion podcast, the audio files.
Files.
That's right. Just take a left at Dudes.
Campbell.
That's right. Pride King.
Oh, and we have one local obituary.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a big part of the local music scene here in Delaware.
Okay.
Bob Hartley passed away on Saturday. He's the creator of June Jam. Everybody's heard of June Jam.
Sure.
It's one of the longest running festivals. I think this was the 45th year. But basically it's
looking at me like I can tell you.
It's a concert and I think it's like Toys for Tots is all the funds go.
Yeah.
We've played it a couple times.
Was he ill?
He died in his sleep. He was 69.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and he died in his sleep. He was a little heavy, you know. Yeah. I saw him St. Paddy's Day. I went out and saw my buddy Travis's band, and he was there.
Well, maybe he's hanging out with the Frogman now.
He could be. But so long, Bob. The Delaware appreciates everything you did for the local music scene.
And by the way, we just got a fast text message. Somebody from somewhere, and I have no idea where it's from, says they want to congratulate us for never making, in the entire episode today, never making any snarky comments about OJ.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Although I have to tell you, the jokes did fly and the punchlines went around pretty quickly, but I will tell you my personal favorite. You may have seen it because I forwarded on it. It said that he died. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. A standing ovation, we love that, said that OJ died peacefully surrounded by his knife and children.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
All right, nevertheless, you got anything else?
No, don't have anything else.
Next week, part two, Good Vibrations, the music of Hal Blaine.
Yes.
It'll be action-packed Pee-wee. Going out, Clarence Frogman Henry. And that's all there is to that. I'm Scott Edward Phelps.
I'm Dave Simmons.
And we are the Audio Files.
Ooh, ain't got no hope. I know later on, ain't got no home, I know face the wrong, I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home.
The Audio Files is produced in the United States of America. Questions, comments, and witty banter welcome. AudioFilesBroadcast@gmail.com.
I want you saying to me. Please ain't to me.
audio files.